singing. We could do a little more of that. One of our visitors this morning is Marvin Miller. He's here with a bunch of his family. Don't know what percentage. Marvin, for you old timers my age, doesn't need a lot of introduction. He's Laverne and Laverne's brother, Urban Mary's son. You younger ones could connect with Craig's report on Wednesday evening. He's from the serving in the same community, same area in Romania as Craig is. Marvin will bring the devotions this morning. God bless you.
God bless you this morning as we greet you in Christ's worthy name. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a joy to be a child of God. It's great to be alive. I remember very well when I sat where you boys are sitting, and we learned some very, very important truths, and I hope you listen carefully every time you come to church. Learned some very important truths that helped us very much later in life, and I thank the faithful ones that taught us when we were young. In our home congregation, I happen to be the second to the oldest man in the church. Here, I feel pretty young. I'd like to read a few verses out of Psalm 121 and then have a few thoughts on acceptable worship. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to have the Lord as our keeper. The Lord, who is the one who watches over us, is concerned about our protection. I was wondering this morning a little bit, what is acceptable worship? How can we approach God? What offerings can we bring to Him? You know, sometimes in the country where I'm in, if somebody wants to meet somebody important, they bring a gift, we call it a bribe, to get their attention and to win their confidence. Does God accept that kind of sacrifice? What do you think? No, I don't think so. There's a gift that we can give to God that He is waiting for. And the same is true for young boys and girls. It's a gift you can give your parents that's bigger than anything you can give them. You know what it is? It's the gift of brokenness, if you want to call that a gift. The Bible says in James 4, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The Lord is nigh unto all them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And Psalm 51 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. I've had a number of different men work for me. The one's a young gypsy man. And he's a yes man. I can ask him to work in the garden. I can ask him to mulch the tomatoes. I can ask him to run errands in town. I can ask him to teach school. I can ask him about anything. He says, yes, yes, yeah, sure. I'm glad to do it. He has the evidence of a broken heart because he's a yes man. The other one who used to work for me doesn't anymore. Is a man with a different attitude. It's, I know better than you. He's not a yes man. Has had over between 20 and 25 years of formal schooling, and is not a yes man. He's a man who hasn't learned the important lessons of life, if I may be so frank as to say that. But what kind of sacrifices does God accept? It's a broken, a contrite heart. So when I say, yes, Lord. Whatever. Yes, Lord. That's a gift, in a sense, that we can give to God. Yes, Lord, whatever. Whatever you say, I'm happy to do it. A second item, and there are many others that we could mention, but that I think in approaching God is, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, when we have that purity of body and spirit, and we do like the Bible says, we keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we make sure that our attitudes are cleansed, that we don't hold ill will toward other people. God can appreciate that kind of sacrifice or that kind of purity. When we don't feel like we have to pay to settle the accounts and pay somebody back, says, Lord, I commit him to you. God accepts that kind of worship. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is so beautiful. When that spirit, that attitude we have, is holy. A love and respect for those around us. A care for others. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. And the third thing I want to mention in this few minutes, an understanding of who we are in the presence of God. I've always been impressed with the life of Job and how that Job was such a perfect man. He loved the Lord. But one day the Lord says, more of the Lord answered Job and said, Job 40, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice. But I proceed no further. Job was wise. Job was perfect. But at some point in time, he realized that even in his perfection, there are times to be silent and say, Lord, I'll just be quiet. There is nothing more to say. And Job 42 says, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered things I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job had set up his defenses. He knew he was right. He defended himself many times for chapters in the Bible. But then he realized what he should do instead is pray for his friends. So he prayed for his friends. And God lifted his captivity. You know, we are members one of another. We collectively seek God. We need each other. We are part of a family. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters of the King. And it's so good to be a part of the family of God. I'm not ashamed to be identified with God, with Jesus, and with the people of God. I hope you're not. God is my Father. Jesus is my brother, and much more than that. The Holy Spirit is my comforter. Now, did I say that right? Not quite. Let me try again. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother, and much more than that, to be sure. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. It is true that we need a personal relationship with Jesus, but we must have it with our brothers and our sisters. We're not islands. We need our brothers and our sisters. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the precious and worthy name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, the one who saved us from sin. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Thank you for the gift of salvation, redemption. Thank you that we can be a part of the family of God, and we want to worship and honor and praise and adore your great and holy name. And Father, we come to you as a body of believers. Accept our worship, our prayer, our songs, our thanksgiving, our praise. Bless this service for your name's sake and glory. Bless each part of the service, the Sunday school classes, the sermon, and each part, Lord. Be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.